Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. This is the Friday edition of the program. I'm David Ellison. With me as the technical operator and producer today is Dennis Johnson. As usual, we are going up until 2 o'clock today. And these are the ways that you are going to be able to reach us as usual, 434-1790, the number to call us at. And if you want to WhatsApp us, send us messages via WhatsApp, then 266-4862. Those are the most convenient ways that we use today to communicate. Now, where are we right now? This is the context in which we begin today's program. From Monday, most business entities will be allowed to service customers in full, while the curfew will start at 7 and finish at 9 and finish at 6 in the morning. The country remains closed to business on Sundays. And the Prime Minister, in revealing this last evening, did admit that they're taking a risk. We'll wait and see exactly what happens. We recognize, though, that the country can't remain in lockdown forever. My recollection is that what has happened in recent weeks, as outlined by the Prime Minister, the numbers were high at one stage. And I still believe that Barbados did the right thing to have a lockdown back then, especially in light of the community spread and the difficulties that we have faced in that period. But as the Prime Minister also says, we are not yet out of the woods. And with all the variants and the mutations that can take place, you know as well as I do that we are in a situation where a risk is being taken, but we have to take a risk one way or the other. Testing is crucial. There is a need to make sure that we continue to test as wide a cross-section of this community as we can on as regular a basis as we can. On the other side of this, though, there is the legal action that has been taken by Senator Caswell Franklin, and then there's another action that was taken by a shopkeeper from Husbands in St. James. And I did see an editorial written, I think it was in Barbados Today, which focused on the urgency of this matter, the one involving the shopkeeper being heard. And I think I would have to say that I accept the point which was being made in that editorial, which is that if you're dealing with a matter of civil liberties, then there's got to be some urgency attached to this, especially in circumstances such as the one, the circumstances that we find ourselves in today. That's one of the matters, therefore, that I see as important as we look at where Barbados is at the moment. Another significant issue that I think many people need to start paying attention to, well, whether you pay attention to it or not, it is going to come at you. Developments at the University of the West Indies. If you look at what's happening in the press, you can sense that there's some politics, not politics with a capital P, but university politics seems to be playing out. And the background to this is that two significant appointments are up for review at the University of the West Indies. In this press conference a few days ago, the Vice Chancellor of the University of the West Indies announced that they are currently looking for someone who will replace Eugene Barreto as principal of the Cave Hill campus of the University of the West Indies. A lot of attention is focused on what will happen there. But I think before you get there, it must be also be recognized that the vice chancellor's position is itself up for review, because his first 6-year period is coming to an end, and the time has come for a review of whether he will get an opportunity to have a second 6-year term or not. So we keep our eyes and our ears open to what is happening there. Much has been said already in the regional press about a report which has been done, which was commissioned, I believe, by the Chancellor of the University of the West Indies. And for all the positive things that can be said, you know, there are some issues which have been referred to in that particular report, in particular the whole question of the development of the university and its financial viability and that sort of thing. So anticipate that in the coming days you're going to be hearing a lot more, and just watch the media, because the media is where it's playing out. Watch it very carefully. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, good morning. Good morning to you.
Morning.
Morning to listeners.
Yes, morning.
But I want to touch on one point. The first thing, I want to compliment the health workers and the frontline workers for the good work they have done so far. I also want to commend the eye care department at the QEH, because they are very reliable, and I enjoy going there to get eye care, and they're doing a fantastic job. Another point I want to make, I feel of myself, I heard everybody complimenting the healthcare and the frontline workers, but I want to hear people compliment Dr. Lee, the gentleman from China, the doctor from China, that spilled the beans and highlight the world what was going on. And I haven't heard nobody mention him or nothing like that. I would like to see a day come that we are asked that the world leaders can also pick a moment of silence for him, or a special holiday for him, because he deserves it. Had not for him, the population be wiped off. So that's my contribution this morning.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, morning, ma'am.
Hello, Dieter here.
Yes, ma'am.
I can hear you sounding good, sir. I want to thank the government for a tremendous job. It couldn't have been easy at all, and we're still like halfway there. It all depends on us now.
What was the tremendous job? Can you tell us what was the tremendous job that you were complimenting the government on? I just want to be clear.
Let me tell you something, right? I always hear the saying goes, be careful what you ask for, you might get it, right? And I realize that, honestly, you see leadership. Leadership is something that they would test you at every point. And this government has really been tested. And I appreciate, because when people criticize, I don't know if they ever say to themselves, what I would do if it was me. And I would not envy Ms. Marty at all, being the leader of this country, I'm going through what she had to go through. Along with,
but you haven't told me what the tremendous job is yet.
Everything that they had to do. You know that I believe some of these persons, they had sleep for quite a while, right? And even the distribution of packages and so on, where, you know, there's some discontent because some people didn't get theirs as well. All those things. I told a relative of mine overseas what was happening here, and how we were receiving packages and so on. She said, what? That is so awesome for such a small country like Barbados. We have been blessed. I ain't know of anyone that have starved during this time. And we
you
do
don't,
not.
You don't know of anyone
that
who starved.
I have starved. I ain't so hungry, but I have starved. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, listen. You see in 97, the tree vendor had the oil crisis. We had to shut down gas, stove, everything, and go, we used to call it down in the back. Go down in the back and look for dry twigs, dry limbs, and put it on three big rocks and put the pot on three big rocks and cook. So it's like, you know, what you have not experienced is tough at first. But, you know, we as children enjoy doing that. So it's how you take what is happening that would either make you or break you, right? We eat some smoky food. We was laughing. So mommy just threw away smoky. And she said, but back in my day, we didn't know it was smoky because that is how we had to do it, right? So I'm calling to encourage the government in keeping up, Mr. Boss State. I mean, these persons, sometimes you can see the tiredness. You can see it. If you're really interested in people and how they're feeling and so on, you can actually see what is going on in the spirit and so on. So I'm thanking God for everything that we've reached this stage and we have lost some, and I pray for the families that have lost some of their loved ones. And we have to get together as a country and really continue to look out for each other. And I'm saying, don't panic, because the churches are opening back, and I think the churches should, some of them have been doing it before, pick up some of the slack of distribution of packages and so on. So we can do a lot better than what is happening right now, you know? I just want to say this few words of a song and go, all right? It says... This is by Osby Berry. Very beautiful song. Somebody sat down and actually wrote this. It says, God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and flesh out the wonders of light. And you go on to say, and as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. So will I. So will I. So, we who survived this pandemic, we have something to tell our children. And when we look back, we are not even going to believe what we have been through. And I see this reflecting in how we as human beings, not only in Barbados, see our future. This is a learning process for us, a learning process for humanity, and it can be positive. Don't let it be negative. So even like the young people and things, you have something to look back on and wonder, we really went through that? So if the stars were made to worship, let us worship God and give praise. Thank you.
Thank you, and have a good day. This is Donna Brastax. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, morning.
You remember, we did not have COVID, but we got it. You remember a certain event that used to take place in Queen's Park many, many years ago?
What event are you talking about?
Well, these care packages remind me of that. I like to leave that there. Right? What event? It took place.
You talk about when people used to get food in the park?
Yes. Yeah.
So, what's reminiscent about that when you look at the care packages? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, right?
I want to hear how you're looking at it.
If I give you a shirt, David, and then take it and tear it up, and then put some patches in it, have I really done anything for you?
You took one of the packages?
Listen, no. No, no, no. Even if I get one, I won't go open it every day later.
You didn't get one?
I want none.
They came to you?
I have my principles and my life, you see, and I live by them. Let me go on to my main point.
Why are you trying to figure out why? Listen, man, you can't come here and just drop a bomb and don't want to expand on it, man. If you come and tell me that you have a problem with the care packages, at least let us explore what is your problem. Don't come and tell me about it reminds you of eating food in the park and just move away.
Listen to me, right? I did not get a care package. If I had received one on like certain people, I would immediately get it. I would, before even opening it, I would have added a few things for it and give it away. As I tell you,
Fine. So you got me confused. on one hand, you give me the impression that you would not have taken it at all. And on the other, you say, but you would have taken it and put some additional things into it.
Hello?
You know that you...
Wait. I said I wouldn't even open it.
So how are we going to get additional things into it? You would add additional things to it.
I can get a bag and put on top another bag before opening the first bag.
Okay.
All right.
I'm listening to you. You sound good so far. Let me ask you this then. You didn't take a care package or you didn't get one. It is quite possible that your whole reaction might have been different if somebody had turned up, especially if a nice young lady had turned up speaking to you very pleasantly. It is possible that you might have changed your mind. However, in the absence of that, let me hold on. In the absence of that, have you packed any packages for anyone and given them away? Or were you waiting for a care package before you could do that?
I'm always giving.
No, always. I didn't ask you that.
Hold on. I'm very serious about this, right? I don't ask anything in return. I don't look for anything in return.
I don't want the grandstanding, man. I want the answer to the question, man.
I am grandstanding.
Look, I ask you. You said that it would have taken a care package being sent to you for you to keep it closed and create a completely new package to pass on to somebody. I want to know whether you have packed any care packages of your own in this crisis.
When you see Corey or hear Corey, when you see Corey on Sunday, you ask Corey. Hear me tell? I am not about picking up myself. You understand? And I don't care kindly to what you're doing. I've been giving all of my life.
And I don't know
anything.
I don't know that.
Anyhow, let me go on to my point.
All I have is your word on this.
Let me go on to my point. Okay. What year did the campus strength strategy happen? What year?
I can't remember.
All right. I have a copy of a newspaper clipping with the date and everything and a picture. It is dated Lyric National Wednesday, October 1st, 2014, History A. And in the picture, there's a fire officer decked in what I assume it is a fireproof suit or a heatproof suit, an oxygen tank, and being observed by a lot of people. I don't want to call them here. What I want to know is, the Barbados Fire Service had these things in their projection when that strategy happened in Tudor Street. That's what I want to know.
All right. Well, you know, I can't answer that question for you. But thank you very much, Mr. P. Have a good day. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning, Ms. Ellis.
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm keeping good. But I'm going to tell Mr. Johnson I'll put it up for me this morning. Because, you see, man, I'm going to talk things to get. He just let that gentleman come and talk a lot of nonsense. And the bottom of
his point.
I mean, Mr. Rich P. I'm talking about Mr. P. Let me tell you something. I listened a couple of weeks ago, see? And I don't know if you remember. This man was tearing Mr. Duke apart. He won't move it for his ministry. He ain't doing nothing. You know, he said, tear Mr. Alpha apart. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I sit down here and they listen to this gentleman praising Mr. Alpha and Mr. Dugard. And he's the same man wants to tear the people apart. Let me tell you, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Ellis, I just listened to this following program from the day where I do a work, so I got more time to listen. And this gentleman did something to talk some kind of a thing. But he's the most. Why would let a call again call by here?
Look. Let me tell you something. He is a regular caller to this program, and we got to extend to him the same courtesy that we got to extend to you. In other words, when you are finished making your contribution, we should not really be encouraging somebody else to come now and attack you on the basis of what you say. It is better to stay on the path of dealing with genuine matters in this country than to take this opportunity to just come and attack another caller. I mean, we all have our strengths, we all have our weaknesses. And you know, at a very minimum, what he is doing is he stimulates other people to think and other people to talk. That's, he's exercising that right. I don't see the need for us to just spend 5 minutes attacking the man for the position that he's adopted. Yes, there are times when he's been critical. There are times when he praises people. But that's not unusual. All of us do that. You're not listening to what I tell you.
Yeah.
I'm suggesting to you that it ain't useful to continue in this vein attacking him as a caller. It makes no sense.
But Mr. Ellis, you know, you know that when you talk something and somebody could come behind you and tell you what you're doing it right, if you got any grain, you must say, you go reflect and come back again.
No, I prefer when you're going to attack somebody, I prefer to do that when that person is there to defend themselves, not to hit them.
I would like to know he's a person. To me, he's a person. Say what I got to tell you.
No, let's stop this now. Let us stop this right here and right now. This is not useful. It is a waste of time. Okay? It isn't useful. Let's move on. Down to brass tacks. This person has written this particular complaint. They're writing from Carpenter's Glade at Parish Land in St. Philip. Carpenter's Glade, Parish Land in St. Philip. The writer says that every time the rain falls, his house gets soaked. The uprights rotten and tiles are blown. He goes on to say that the National Housing Corporation came and said that they would fix the problem, but according to him, they never came. The front step was pulling away from the house, and he says that the NHC half did it. Well, if they half did it, it means that they did come at some point, but you weren't satisfied with the work that they did. He said that meetings were held by the community leaders and with the Minister of Housing. And it was agreed that the problems would have been addressed. He says that some of the promises were fulfilled, but the allegation is that the NHC has pulled workers from doing those repairs and now have them building houses for squatters in the same development. The writer is particularly irate and frustrated because he says he paid the National Housing Corporation $134,000 for the house and still cannot be comfortable in it. He concludes by saying, this is not fair to me and others that paid the National Housing Corporation. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program. This person says that they received a care package 3 weeks ago, appreciated it, so they're praising this whole effort too of providing the care packages to people. The question is, you know, there's so many aspects to this whole question of COVID and how it has impacted on people, how it has changed lives so far. And it would be useful to hear from some of you today how you see the COVID period, this latest lockdown. how have you been able to get through it? And what are the lessons that you believe we can learn from this process? Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. (434) 1790, that's the number for you to call. The situation in Jamaica has finally gotten some AstraZeneca, or some doses have already arrived, and another 14,000 doses are expected there. And Jamaica is also in a process where they say that they are to send further COVID positive samples overseas to check whether other variants of the disease are there. The health minister, Dr. Christopher Tufton, has confirmed that the UK variant was detected in seven samples that were sent to Trinidad for testing several weeks ago. But now they are looking to see whether they have the other variants in that country. Down to Brass Tacks. Okay. So we may be having a little bit of a challenge there. In the meantime, let's look at some of what else is being said here by people who are writing to us. We have some concerns continuing about this kite flying in the neighborhoods. While it may have eased in some areas, in others, it remains a very serious issue. There are people who have good reason to complain because there are some individuals who do not care about the kind of pressure that they impose on others. And the kites are seldom flying over their own houses. They disturb other people, and the bulls that they're putting in them are so strong that they keep quite a lot of noise during the night. People continue to complain about this, and in some instances, I found that people have actually responded and have not been, they've decided that they're not going to go kite flying at night in particular, but others persist with this particular nuisance.